Now, let's rush down. We have spent so much time now. Now, so he described the number of years that Abraham lived in verse 7, and that the man died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael buried him as in the same place where they buried his wife. Then he began to talk about generations of people. Now, please, because of time, I want to jump down to things that we have comments to pass on. Of course, as you can see, if we are jumping so many verses, we are not putting exhaustive comments on everything. And if we were, even if I had the knowledge and inspiration to do that, that means that we'll be on maybe 2 chapters for the rest of this year. Well, let's just keep going. Now, what I want to emphasize next is something I started last week, which let me just build up on it a bit, and then we'll finish that. No, just add it to what we said last week, and that should be all about it. Verse 20 says, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. I'm just jumping. And now the thing is that the woman was barren. Just to get information correct, for the next 20 years after she was married, she didn't bear a child. And in verse 21 it said, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, before we go on to the struggling of the children in verse 22, what I want to emphasize here is that, you see, all these things were recorded for our learning. Are you getting my point? They were recorded for what? Our learning. God ties a lot of importance to women and childbearing. How do I know that? Because the curse upon Eve was that in pain, do you understand? She will bring forth children. Now again, I don't want to go back to that issue of the curse on Eve. Understanding is just so much in my head about it. Now, why I'm bringing the matter up is because you see that the prayer was not for himself, but was for who? Was for his wife. Now, that's one. But more importantly than that, what I want to emphasize is the fact that I mentioned that last week, this woman was blessed by her people when she was going to leave her home. They prayed for her. They blessed her. You will become multitudes of nations and all of that. And for 20 years, she didn't conceive. Then one day, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. Let me say this. It's important that men learn how to do this. Being a husband is not about giving orders. You understand? Yeah, I've said like this, must be like this. That is part of executing the blessing in your home. Are you getting my point? Paul said that you must obey them that have rule over you, for they are watching over your souls. So the reason why the man is given the ability, the authority to give instructions and expect to be obeyed in his house is because he's the one that watches over the souls of the people therein. Do you understand my point? I mean, I learned this thing. The Lord opened my eyes to this scripture years before I got married. I understood that the most important blessing, the most anointed prayer, all right, that affects a woman is the one that her husband blesses her with, is the prayer her husband prays for her. You know, everybody has his gifting, his or her gifting in life. There are pastors that the wife, they give special number. All right? My wife, they give special number. Do you understand my point? She doesn't sing. All right? There are pastors that their wives preach. My wife does not preach. If I pastor the church, the only time you know there's a wife in that church is because she sits beside me. Do you understand my point? Let me say that as a pastor, your wife will be a minister. I don't believe it. So, you see, my wife is not a preacher. What I'm saying is that my wife is a business person and her daddy, she's a calling. When she used to work in a bank, I used to laugh at her. I said, you're not a banker. You're just working in a bank. That you are an entrepreneur, you are a business person, you are an investor. I can see it. This is not, it's not imagination. I know. Therefore, you know, I'm talking about 1 billion. One of the 1 billion, she's giving it to me, kingdom word. That one is, only 11 spaces remain. Now, how do I know that will happen? Is it because she's very hardworking? No, that one is true. My wife is very diligent, very hardworking, and she's a very dedicated person. But that's not the issue. You know the main reason why I know? Shall I tell you?
because I have entreated the Lord for her sake about it. Period. You get my point? I have already, as things stand, I have entreated the Lord for my wife's sake about it. Listen, before I got married and after I got married, I blessed my wife with children. It's my job. The pastor tried, but not try. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody tried. Her parents prayed for her. My parents blessed everybody, but not try. All right? The real substance, the moment a woman said to me, I do, I became anointed to be a husband instantly. The Spirit of God was upon me because He has anointed me to husband this woman. He has sent me to bless her with fertility. Are you getting my point? He has sent me to entreat the Lord for her sake, and my prayer for her is exceedingly potent. In fact, maybe I should announce to everybody that we are afraid near my wife, because if I vex for you and I pray against you for my wife's sake, you're in trouble. What I'm trying to say, I've said this again and again, we must understand that being a husband is not just like, now I have bought a car. I have built a house. I have a good business. So what is remaining again? Only one thing is missing in this house. You watch your own video. Say, my son, this Lagos has been very good to you. But this big house you have brought me to, I think one thing is missing. And the boy will say, what is it, mama? That is not what it means to be a husband, though. He said, now you go and marry a wife because you have built a house. Why? There are idiots that build houses. You understand my point? Rogues build houses. That's not what it means. It's the ability to carry some responsibilities. That's what maturity is. It's not age. One funny guy who went in school, they used to say, age does only one thing for you. I don't believe him, actually, but partly you can understand. He said, age does only one thing for you. It makes you old. Don't mind the boy. He was irresponsible. He didn't want to respect his elders. That's why he was talking that kind of nonsense. Because age adds wisdom to you out of experience, all right? It's just that we understand that it's not the age that matters. It's the wisdom you acquired in those years. All right, okay? Now, so, it's so important to understand that Isaac, as a husband, was empowered to approach God for his wife. And not only his wife, let me explain this further, and everyone in his household, his children, his servants, everybody that comes under your roof, okay, is covered with your blessing. And you must learn to take responsibility. Listen, even if you marry a difficult woman, it's your job to teach her submission. Are you getting my point? I say, my wife, look, I don't just like quarrel. Just do what you like. It's an easy way out. A friend of mine was asking me the other day that, how did you manage? I will just help some of us. Let me just share some of these things. He said that his wife is so busy. And then I said, she goes to church, goes to this, walks. I said, why do you allow all of that? Like, and she still asks you to take care of it. You are not being kind to this woman. No. People don't understand. Sometimes when people say that my wife is a working UB and then she resigned to go and take care of her home, her husband, her son, they're like, this man is tough. It's a matter of being kind. Look, my wife was not around yesterday. She's on her way back now. But I just, she wanted to go somewhere. I said I wasn't willing to. I had to go and preach. So I had volunteered to take her all the way down. But I had to go and preach. So it didn't work out. I said, okay, go back for the transport. You come back today. I imagine, I know how. My children, they were late for school. I bet the thing was so difficult. Yeah. Only me slept in the room with two boys. When I wake up at night, moving around like he's sleepwalking. He's looking for something, though. But most of the time, a mother, she's reached out for him, grabbed him, his water is ready, and all those kind of things. She's just up and about to it. And then, look, on top of all of that, you want her to wake up, and then now she does homework for my kids, and then you get down to work. Because this one she was working, you'd be 7:30 latest. You must be inside the banking hall, otherwise they lock you out. There was a day she drove back home at 5 minutes past 12 midnight. This is my car that I wrecked recently. It was new that time. It was the only V-boot in town with that kind of appearance. The car was beautiful. She drove it from Unique all the way to Transekulu at 12 midnight. And I called myself a husband. I said, this thing can't continue. One day she appeared back home at 5 a.m. because they were doing cutover. God, let me not talk. They are cutting over. My wife will stay at work till 5 a.m. After that, I said, you don't do now.
So my, when he asked that question, I said, so he now said that, that what if the woman, maybe that she wants to walk. I said, why should she want to walk? Does she like punishment? He now said, how did you manage to persuade your wife to drop working in a bank and stop earning money? I said, now this is the first step. From when she was working, she didn't earn money. I don't know whether you're catching on to that. So when I said, we as a home earned money. So when she stopped working, she didn't, look, the following month, she didn't become broke. The exact amount of money she used to have, she still had. The only difference is that as a home, we had less money, less income. I said, the reason why a lot of women are not willing to let go for anybody is because the men have not made them secure. She doesn't know the money you have. She has to beg for every dime and that kind of thing. So they are trying to hold on to some form of security. If the woman's heart is secure in her husband, she can let go of any job anytime. I'm telling you. Even if you're afraid, okay, what if something happens tomorrow? Now, that one, that's even a matter of lack of faith. But let's even talk about in the natural plane. Look, there are many ways you can ensure that nothing happens to you tomorrow. That is, assuming that you are not sure you won't die. Like, I'm sure I will not, all right? Assuming you are not sure. And go on, they start investing. Look, you can say, okay, in this house, what we are doing is that for all this money we earn, this proportion goes to investing for our children's education, the future, and all. And then make sure that only one person knows about it. Your wife, are you getting what I mean? And then the beneficiary is stated clearly. Some of them, for the children's education, put their name. For you. I don't have that done. I don't have that, all right? I'm just saying that for those who are afraid that, what if you now die suddenly? I'm just giving you wise counsel in case you think you might just die next week. You get what I'm trying to say. Now, when a woman feels that secure, nobody likes punishment. My friend, you know, she used to work in the bank. Almost all her colleagues, although they're still in the banking sector, apart from a few, and some of them are still in the same bank where she used to work. And I said, how do they cope? So one of her friends said she wakes up at 4 a.m. every day. And when do you get home? So it's not a matter of being a tough guy. It's a matter of being a kind man. My wife is a very energetic and hardworking person. But you see, the idea is that if she decides this morning that I didn't sleep well, my back is aching. You know what it means? As soon as the children get ready in the morning, maybe as I'm going out, I put them in the car, put their lunch packs, put their bags, the school bus brings them back, and I drive them off. She goes back into the bed and continues sleeping. And by the time she's 11 o'clock, the bag goes down straight. No be so. And I decided, okay, now let me go about my business. Do the things I want to do. If you want to travel, nobody's giving notice. I'm the only one that has to phone my office, let people know. I beg people in Kingdom World, please, oh, next Saturday, I will not be around. People are not angry. I just packs her children, packs her bag, enters the car. Wave everybody, bye-bye. I said, madam, we haven't seen you for 1 week. I traveled. I wanted to buy something. Now I'm back. You can come and buy it. You are getting my point. Listen, that's what it means to be. A lot of people are afraid of, or they don't even understand what that responsibility is. Do you get my point? So, we're not talking about marriage, but I'm sure I have preached more about marriage than... Maybe I should just open the marriage segment of... okay, no more ministries. Chukubike, you be the coordinator. So, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. It's a responsibility, okay? Like I told you that I believe that this woman you saw just now, I have prayed, I've blessed, and I have entreated the Lord, and I have received, do you get my point? That her company will give 1 billion naira to Kingdom World Ministries. You get the point? Are you sure it will happen? Yes. Because Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake, and then she conceived. So she has conceived and received billions and billions of naira. Are you getting my point? Of it's all we're asking for. Again, by the way, for those who are doing his first installment, is a sign of greater things to come. A man who gives you 1 billion today will repeat it after a few years. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. All right. Now, so that one is so important. I mentioned something about it last week. And then, please, I need to just quickly rush down to something. Then when the woman conceived, they told her in verse 23, two nations are in thy womb. Two people shall be separated from thy bowels. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And then what happened was that she gave birth to a set of twins. One Esau, the other one, Jacob. Now, Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. That's in verse 26. Now, the boys grew. Esau was a hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he used to give him a lot of food, meat that he would hunt and roast and all of that. But Rebekah loved Jacob the more. Now, because of time, I just want to rush over the rest. You will see that at the point in time, one day Esau was tired and he asked Jacob for food. And then the man said, all right, for that food, verse 31, sell me first thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me first. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. The Bible says, if you read in verse 34, it says, so Esau despised his birthright. Okay, let me read the whole thing. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. Let me explain that expression, the last expression. So Esau despised his birthright. Please, this is what it means. This is what he was trying to imply. He says, so Esau demonstrated the amount of esteem he had for his birthright. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to explain many things in it. It was not just that at that point, because he was afraid he would die, he sold something that was precious. Let's read this thing in context. Number one, this is a manifestation of something that has been going on. Are you getting my point? Jacob would not have offered him such a nonsense amount of pay, all right, for something so great, except that he saw that this man did not regard this thing highly. I hope you are getting my point. Let me ask you a question. Let me say, I have a car. It's parked downstairs. Somebody comes to me and says, man, I'm very hungry. I've not eaten for 3 days. He said, let me give you 200 naira for this car. Do you think I'll answer him? Because I've not eaten for 3 days. You know, that's why you buy a whole car for 200 naira only. Are you getting my point? Because of the amount of value I place on it. And don't forget, this man didn't go so... Look, this guy was living in civilized, where there was food. All right? He left his house. He could not have been so tired. He was not sick. He was just hungry. I'm explaining that what he demonstrated was... The Bible just gave us that as a summary of his lifestyle concerning his birthright. The Bible said that let no one be profane or godless like Esau. All right? Who for a single meal sold his birthright. It was not that selling his birthright was the only thing he ever did wrong. The guy was a godless person. Now, if you read the next chapter, you will see something there that when they were going to bless them. Because of time, I don't want to read that now. Okay, no, I think I should go back. There's something I just want to bring out here. Before I get to that, the point I'm just bringing out from this I've said so far is I see it was a demonstration of his attitude towards God. Now, Derek Prince says something before I get out to what I wanted to read. Derek Prince said that there's a way you look at the two people, Jacob and Esau. Now, let me say this again before I go on. If you look at the way in chapter 26, how Jacob received the blessing, it was deceptive, it was crooked. All right? Now, let me say this first. When Jacob asked to be sold that birthright, what he was doing actually was trying to formalize something. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. He knew this man didn't want it, but it was still his own. That's why when the man said, what is it that he said, swear to me first that I'm giving it to you. Are you getting my point? In that one, I don't believe, if you ask my opinion, that Jacob did anything wrong in the first instance. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. What was happening was that he was showing the amount of love he had for the birthright, seeing that his brother did not highly regard it. But whether he highly regarded it or not, it still belonged to him. So an opportunity came one day and he said, give it to me, you don't like it. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. The guy wouldn't hand it to him freely. So one day, when the man needed something, he said, okay, I'm going to give you an illustration now. The day the man needed something, now he said, okay, what do you want? Food. Okay, I want payment for the food. The guy said, what do you want? Say, give me your birthright. The guy said, okay, take. What I'm trying to say is that, look, Jacob was gunning for that thing. I want to give this illustration to help us understand what I'm saying. Because what is inside your heart, opportunities are always created for you to receive it. That's what I've been talking about. His spirit has gathered them. God will create opportunities. That's what the Bible calls times and chance. All right? Opportunities will be created for you to receive what is inside your heart. The Bible says that if they have been thinking of the place, Romans chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 11, from where they left, they will have found opportunities to return. Is that okay? Now, one brother, one was in school. Okay, that was my introduction. You know, till today, you hear me say, New American Standard, New American Standard. Now, there are a number of reasons why I use New American Standard Bible. Number one, or the most important reason, is that I've heard scholars analyze Bible versions, and several of them have agreed that when you put everything together, the most accurate one, singular, is New American Standard. R.B. Thyme said that. Derek Prince said it. The R.B. Thyme is the only version he quotes, apart from when he reads out in Greek and Hebrew himself. Is that okay? Derek Prince, I heard him make that statement. He said the only problem he has with it is that the English is bad. I don't understand, but he's an Englishman. He should know what he's saying. But he knows what he's saying. I've heard more than that. E.W. Kenyon used to quote from it also a lot. And then when I was studying those days, I will see an expression, and they'll be explaining how the correct rendering. I will check the New American Standard. That's exactly what is in there. There are a few positions, points in which other people disagreed, and scholars think the other people are right. But generally speaking, now why am I saying this? The brother who first bought it, one brother went to school. It was his own. I used to read. I remember one day we went for fellowship together, and the late Bishop Hapford Ilobutaife is late now. Then he was preaching, and he was talking from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which says that to show forth his excellence, King James says the word that you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of him that sent you. I still remember he spelt it. He said the Greek word is spelt A-R-E-T-E. And that, I remember this was many, many years ago, and that the proper word is excellency, you know? And the guy just tapped me, this brother, and said, see, the New American Standard used the word excellency. He said, this Bible is good. So I fell in love with it. The only problem was how to get one. It's still not very common till now. It's one of the difficult versions that you find when you want, one of the difficult ones to find when you are looking for Bibles. So one day, so I begged naturally. I said, give it to me. He said no. That he has a rule. He doesn't give people Bibles. He's a very generous guy. He said his problem is that he believes that if you want a Bible, you can go and buy one. That for him, he shouldn't give you a Bible. He wants you to demonstrate love towards the Bible by buying one. That those days in school, if you were eating three times a day and you skipped a meal for a week, the money of the meal for the week that you skipped bought a Bible. So he said, why should you give anybody a Bible? That demonstrates your love for it by buying one. That was his thing. And I explained to him that, look, the problem here is not that I don't want to buy. Find where they are selling and I will buy. And very beautiful. Do you know that particular one? I think I still have it somewhere around. It's been torn, tattered. I lost it. It came back. But I see somewhere around in my house. Oh, the story I'm telling you was around 1989. All right? It was 89. Because that was the year he graduated. So one day, when we were in school, he was going to graduate. He now said, okay, bank, look through my things. Anything you want, let me know. I'll give it to you. He had clothes. All right? I mean, he had all this. I could pick one of his fine. He used to wear some fancy clothes, even natives and all of that. So as soon as the word finished dropping from his mouth, I just said, give me that Bible. He couldn't say no. I caught him. Now, this is the point. Of all the things he had, the moment he said, I didn't have to think. We had forgot. This is my begging him for it. At past weeks or maybe even months before, I'd forgotten it. But the moment he opened his mouth and said, what do you want me to give you? Because of the desire. And listen, I read that Bible, that particular one, not the version now, that particular one he gave me. As at 1993, I was still reading it. 4 years afterwards. I read it until I bought that flat red one. The one I carried out a few times. All right? Until I bought that one.
Because I bought, as soon as I got to Lagos 93, I saw what they were selling, but the one I got was fat. All right? Until I bought a trim one, I read that particular one he gave me. Are you getting the point? I read it till it tore. It's not leather bound. Then I formed a back for it myself. If you see, the back was blue. It became white. I made the white back myself in my house. Now, I'm going to bring out something here. Opportunities was created. An opportunity was created because of the amount of love I had for the thing. Are you getting my point? And that was what happened to Jacob. It wasn't wickedness. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Now, what he did that was wrong was in how he tried to claim what was his. Because he went ahead and deceived his father. And for that reason, he suffered extensively. But that thing was his own. I hope you are getting my point. In buying it from his brother, there was nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. So he took advantage of his weakness. I don't believe he did. It was something that was valuable. All right? Which the Bible said that the kingdom of God is like a pearl that somebody found in the ground. And for the love for it, he went, sold all he had, and bought that parcel of land. There was another way in which a merchant saw a gem. He understood the value of it. The man who had it didn't understand the value of it. So he sold all that he had and grabbed it from that person. Are you following me? There's one thing I saw on CNN recently. One woman who is fighting to have a particular painting she had certified as being by a particular famous artist who pioneered what they call drop paintings. Ask my opinion, very stupid idea. But people are paying as much as $20 million for one because the man has died. Now, she saw it and bought it for, I think, $2 or $4 and said, this painting is by this man. The people said he has not been proved. In fact, she has a case now. She's still working on it. So much that one man finally offered him $2 million for the painting. Guess what she did? She refused to sell. She said, I know the true worth. She bought it for $4. No, did you hear what I said? She bought it for how much? $4. $4. Somebody offered her $2 million. She said, I'm not selling. She's had it now for years, maybe up to 10 years. Why? Because, you see, you can't really sell it until the art world recognizes it as an original by that particular man. Since they didn't know it before, she's having to prove that the man did it. And at least two or three art experts have said it is not that man. But she said they are lying, that they don't know what they are saying. And the last I heard of it was that one man who was investigating using forensic equipment noticed a fingerprint in paint on the back. So naturally, they went to that man's house and his studio, which is not like a museum, like an archival material, all right? And he went and dusted for the man's fingerprints, and it matched. He said the only problem now is that the art world people don't understand science. They don't understand fingerprint and this and this and that. Somebody offered her $2 million for something she bought for $4. And she refused to sell, an old woman. They said, why did you refuse to sell? He said, because I know the real value. It's a matter of time. They will soon agree with me that this is the value. Then I will get $10 million or $20 million for it. You are getting the point now. So it's not just about he took advantage of his brother. No. If the guy knew the value, Jacob couldn't get it. But the Bible says he was a profane or godless man. Now I'm explaining something here. The whole principle of his life was that of godlessness. And let me explain something about godliness for you here. And I close with that. I can't go beyond this point. All right? Today. Now, Derek Prince is the person I'm going to quote on this matter. Derek Prince says something that he compared Jacob. Now, I can't remember what he said about Jacob, but I remember what he said about Esau. But I know the picture I have in my mind about the two of them. But what I'm going to tell you about Esau, I learned from Derek Prince. Derek Prince said that Esau is what an American would have called a good guy, or an Englishman would call a nice chap. So Esau was nice. He was hardworking. Are you getting the point? He was a man who went about his business early, and returned home late and worked very hard for everything he got. Are you getting me? The only problem was that the guy felt that that was all you needed in life. Your destiny is in your hands. You got to get up and rise up, like Two-Face said, and know that your destiny is in your hands. A man, what comes to a man in life is what he works hard for. Nothing good comes easy. That one is a Bongo Zikwe. And he do all of that. A man spoke in my presence once and I felt sorry for him. He said, I don't believe in God. I only believe in myself. One of my classmates, Obiora, he asked me once. He said, some people say that Nigeria is not good because we don't pray hard enough. Or something like that. And I gave him a spiritual answer. He laughed. He said, Americans plan their country very well. And it is good. All we need to do is plan our own very well. I respected him up to that day. That this guy, you don't have sense. That is, you don't have to be a Christian. You are just showing me that you're a very stupid person. How do you get 120 million people to agree to a plan? Is it possible? It's impossible. I think somebody quoted this from me. I'll still try and get the name of the person. Because I've quoted a lot of times, but I've not been able to get the name accurately. Either Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln or any one of those American fathers. He said that he has found out that what makes a nation progress is more than meets the eyes. I know this particular guy was a president. I don't think it was Thomas Jefferson. It was a president. That look, it's as if something is carrying us. Nobody will carry this thing. The thing is carrying us along. Now, those are Esau mentalities. That's how Esau's think. I've got a first class. I'm connected. Even if I don't have a first class, I can work hard. You see this in my hands? You know why they are calloused like this? I take my destiny in my hands, man. I do what a man has to do. How are you? Jacob said, I don't know what a man is supposed to do, but I know if a man is blessed, goodness and mercy will not leave him alone. Do you get my point? For that reason, Jacob was always looking for the blessing. The day he met God, he said, you won't go until you have blessed me. You can be angry, you can lie, break my leg, but go until you have blessed me, that one will not happen. That was his attitude towards God. You are getting my point. He knew that if a man is not blessed by God, he gets nothing in life. So the guy was ready to do anything to get the blessing. When it seemed like his father... Please read that book, The Blessing. That's my little book. Get one copy. Now, when he saw that his father was going to mistakenly bless his son, the guy said, hey, wait. Why take the chance? Why take chances? He rushed for it whichever way. Because he knew that those words would decide whether he will succeed tomorrow or he will not. Are you getting my point? That is why a Christian that spends all the time doing his business and doesn't have time for the word of God, I think he's an Esau. You are getting the point I'm making. Are you getting these principles? So that is the difference between Jacob and Esau. Jacob is a man who said, no, God, I need you. If you don't bless me, I'm in trouble. It's not my hard work. It is the blessing of God. And we'll get there later. Get to the house of Laban. That blessedness manifested. I mean, you do silly things like put stick in front of animals and change their genes. It was a blessing. Are you getting the point? And that is what marks the Christian that will go very far with God. That's what marks him different from the Christian that won't. How much do you really depend on God? You are getting the point there. That's what matters. The amount of dependence we have in reality towards God, not depending on the things that we can see around us. Are you getting that point? That is a major difference between Jacob and Esau. Alright? Now, let me just... something else I wanted to say, the thing just escaped me now, but I think I can stop there because we have spoken at length today. I hope you've learned something.